You're on.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, depending on where you are. My name is Danny. I'm very, very thankful to be presenting today for this conference. It's a blessed opportunity for me. And I'll just start off by saying I'm the least of everyone here, so I'm looking to learn from everyone. And I'd love to hear feedback and questions so that I can continue growing. So if I can actually, it's to go. This is just kind of a rundown of what I'm looking to present in today or about in terms of steps. I'll start by just reviewing a few key terms that I'm going to be using often in this presentation. So the word aspasmos or aspasmos is a Greek word. Of course, you all know more than I do. Refers to greeting. In this context for today's presentation or for Coptic liturgics in general, we usually refer to that as the hymn that's chanted during the Kiss of Peace. So that's going to play a big role in today's presentation. Two other important terms would be Adam and Watos. Those are both written there in Coptic. The first is usually indicative of a three-stress quatrain. So it's four lines to a verse, each of them having five or six written syllables to each of the lines. Watos is another indicator of four lines. So another quatrain, but it's usually a four-stress quatrain. And those are going to be used frequently, and we use them for pretty much everything in today's Bohairic tradition for Coptic hymnology. And the final is, I'm going to refer to these manuscripts called Ordo of the Church, or in Arabic, Tertib al-Bi'a. It's quite similar to what a typikon would be in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, with some variation, but pretty much these manuscripts include hymns and prayers of the daily cycles, the weekly cycles, and some information on the fasts and feasts during, you know, of the liturgical calendar. So the presentation is on the development of the Sanctus within the Coptic tradition. So as you all know, the Sanctus is a Eucharistic prayer that is extrapolated from Isaiah's vision in chapter 6, verse 3 of the book of Isaiah. And it's not taken directly, but it is taken extrapolated from there as holy, holy, holy Lord of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your holy glory. So please let me know. I'm going to be playing some audio clips. Please let me know if you cannot hear them. This is the oldest recording that we have of the Sanctus within the Coptic tradition, just this section between from holy, holy, holy until holy glory. You can hear in this recording that was done by the Higher Institute of Coptic Studies in the earlier half of the 20th century. It's its own standalone response. It's not connected to anything, and it has a beginning and a conclusion that's totally on its own. There's also what we know as the Benedictus. The Benedictus is used in mainly Syriac liturgies or Byzantine liturgies. It's not common in the Coptic Orthodox Church. We only have two recordings of it up until recent, you know, recordings from current cantors. And it's only specified to be used in St. Gregory's liturgy, which is believed. So these are two considered two separate pieces up until now. The Sanctus on its own, the Benedictus on its own. And again, the Benedictus is specified to be just for the liturgy of St. Gregory, as it's indicated here and in other manuscripts as well. Speaking of the Sanctus in general, there are several theories regarding its origin. Some propose an Alexandrian beginning, and others claim that it's from a Syriac tradition. The Egyptian theory is evidenced in part by the fact that the Sanctus prayer is placed almost perfectly within the anaphora of St. Mark. Father Robert Taft has mentioned that the close structural connection between the Sanctus and the first epiclesis within the Egyptian anaphoral tradition makes it essential that they be discussed together. So we'll take just a brief look at how the Sanctus is placed within the liturgy of St. Mark. For in every season, everything sanctifies you. Yet along with everyone that sanctifies you, receive from us also our sanctification as we praise you with them, saying. So this is said by the priest, and then the laity would respond with the Sanctus. And then the priest would continue and say, truly, heaven and earth are full of your holy glory. Through your only begotten Son, our Lord God and Savior and King of us all, Jesus Christ, fill this your sacrifice, O Lord, with the blessing from you through the coming down of your Holy Spirit upon it, with blessing bless, and with sanctification sanctify your honored gifts, which are already set before you, this bread and this cup. So in the structure of St. Cyril's liturgy, or the anaphora of St. Mark, we have the Sanctus preceding right away the institution and followed directly by the fraction. And so this epiclesis is, it's clearly connected to the sanctification of the bread and the cup, and as such, sanctifying the people of God within the church. Also, it's really important to note how this has shifted over time. So typically, the majority of Eucologian within the Coptic Church now include a repetition of this Sanctus in Coptic. So the Sanctus is usually chanted in Greek. The majority of the anaphora now, this section begins with a repetition of it in Coptic, as the priest repeats Agios three times again in order to turn and bless the congregation. The majority of times in manuscripts that doesn't exist, the priest would actually, as indicated by the Eucologian, would actually bless the congregation throughout the Sanctus being chanted. So I think this is really summed up very well by Sebastian Brock in his paper on the Sanctus. And he writes, in the Sanctus we're presented with a movement from transcendence to immanence. This movement from God to creation always invites a response, a movement back from humanity to God. In the Eucharistic liturgy, above all, we encounter this double movement, from God to humanity and from humanity to God, where the meeting point of the two movements is Christ. God comes to meet us in Christ, who is made present through the power of the Holy Spirit in response to our offering up the fruits of our cooperation with God's creation. At the communion, this movement is now reversed, and what has been made holy.
Daniel, can you stop for a minute?
Sure. Okay. So is my screen still showing now? Can everybody see the slides?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
But you want to start it
As a presentation again?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to see, and if I use the presenter view, can everybody still, is everyone seeing the actual slideshow or just, is everyone seeing the presenter as well?
The presenter. We see everything that you're seeing.
Okay.
Okay, that one.
So the reason I have included these quotes is just to highlight what role the Sanctus is playing within our liturgy. This understanding has sort of shifted now within the understanding of the Coptic liturgy, as we'll go through the development in a few minutes. But I wanted to highlight that this part of the liturgy is about our consecration as well as the consecration of these gifts, a movement between God and man, and us drawing towards the table of God to meet him there. And this is really, really put very well by Father Alexander Schmemann. This is a quote from the Eucharist. He says, to what do these ancient angelic praises witness, if not to heaven, which we are seeing and hearing, for we ourselves are lifted up to it. What are these words of royal greeting, if not an icon, the gift, vision, revelation of the kingdom of glory, if not meeting with God, fulfilled through thanksgiving at his table in his kingdom? And I've highlighted this at his table concept, and it's going to play a big role in what comes. So within the Coptic tradition, there are early attestations to the Sanctus and the Benedictus being used. However, a third set of hymns that are contiguous with the Sanctus emerge by the 14th century. These images are from Mizbah al-Zulma, Ibn Kabar. I'm going to have to, because I put the texts of them in the comments, so I'm going to have to use the presenter view for a few minutes, if that's okay, just so that I can read them with you. Okay. So in the photo on the left, the text says, the people chant Agios Shomt, which is Agios three times, which is how they refer to the Sanctus. In the days of the feasts and Sundays and days of joy and celebration, they say Nisherobim. In the days of the great fast and Kiyak and the fast of the disciples, they say Daute and Titrapeza. And in the liturgy of Gregory, after Agios, 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 they say Osanna Intis. So here we have some sort of guideline as to, okay, when these hymns are said, what liturgies they coincide with. In other places, Ibn Kabar lays out when each anaphora is to be prayed. So we find that there is some sort of connection between the liturgy of St. Gregory, which was prayed on Sundays and days of joy and celebration, and this hymn, Nisherubim, and a connection between the anaphora of St. Mark, or later known as St. Cyril, with the hymn, Daute and Titrabeza. And in St. Gregory's, they add Osanna Intis. I'm going to play just a recording of Nisherubim. This is the earliest recording of it we have, and it was recorded by the Higher Institute of Coptic Studies in recording St. Gregory's liturgy. So this connection was still present up until the mid-1900s. Sure, most of my fellow Copts here are familiar with this tune. We use it quite regularly in other hymns. I just wanted to give sort of a brief clip of it so that we get a taste for it. So this is, again, a clip of Nisherubim, which was said during St. Gregory's liturgy, which is 4 days of joy and celebration. That tune has now been used in every single hymn that we sing before the Sanctus. Now, the other hymn, Defte Istin Trabezan, which is the more accurate Greek. See, if you notice here, they have it written as Defte Estin, but they have it written as Estin, as in the third person singular of the Greek imi. So technically, this is indicative of the change in sort of Copt understanding of Greek by this time. The hymn itself that's written for St. Cyril's liturgy, or this hymn before the Sanctus, also reiterates this connection between the movement between the people of God towards this table to reenact and participate in this scene from Isaiah 6. So the hymn text says, come to the table to bless God with the angels and archangels, crying out and saying, holy, holy, holy are you, O Lord. Amen. Alleluia. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Along with the cherubim, we send up praise, and the refrain again, holy, holy, holy are you, O Lord. Amen. Alleluia. Glory to you, O Father. Glory to you, O only begotten, with the Holy Spirit, one God and one Lord. And there's an additional verse here that I have in italics that's a Coptic verse that's written as, heaven is glad, the earth rejoices, the cherubim spread their wings and cry three times as a type of the Trinity, holy, holy, holy are you, O Lord. Amen. Alleluia. So the purpose of this hymn is a recreation of that scene from the book of Isaiah and our participation in that as we move towards the table of God to partake of these mysteries. What's interesting about this hymn is that we actually have discovered another recording of a tune that is no longer used within our church, that was saved by Ma'alim Tawfiq from the Muharrak Monastery, who learned it from Suhag in Upper Egypt. And it's really interesting because when they recorded this hymn, they couldn't figure out how it was to be used within the current context. So the Higher Institute of Coptic Studies left this tune alone and decided to put the text on the tune that was used for Nisha Robim. I just want us to get a taste of this as well.
Angelis ke arsi angelis bondes ke roho
And he continues on the next verse and such. When Father Matthias decided to record the St. Cyril's liturgy for the Higher Institute of Coptic Studies, they forgot that tune and left it and chose to place it upon the common tune from Nisha Robim, and they did this recording. So here we are seeing sort of how these hymns have remained within our tradition, but are not understood. They've sort of been changed here and there. Their placement has sort of shifted. At this point, this is now by 14th century or in 15th century, we don't see any title for these hymns. We don't see any label for them. We just know what connection they have to which liturgies and where they're supposed to be chanted. This unfortunately changes over time. We also have another hymn before the Sanctus that reiterates this theme of the recreation of the scene from Isaiah 6. It says, let us praise with the angels and the heavenly ranks, he who is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy are you, O our God. Holy are you, O our Savior. Holy are you, O Creator. Holy are you, O Giver of life. And this is quite a long one. It does mention the Virgin Mary here, but in the context of being the mother of Christ, it says, holy are you, O Jesus Christ, with your mother, the Virgin, Mary, the fair dove, the Theotokos, Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, to whom is the glory and majesty, the honor and the authority to the end of the age, and so on. So these are three hymns that have been preserved as hymns prior to the chanting of the Sanctus, which was then followed again by the Benedictus only in the liturgy of St. Gregory. So in analyzing these three hymns, you have the glorification of the Trinity as the focal point. You have the Holy Theotokos mentioned only in regards to her relationship with Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we see that these hymns so far, there are guidelines for, but in the manuscripts, they're not specific on keeping those guidelines all of the time. There then becomes a shift. Let me move back to this slideshow so you can see. There's then a shift in sort of a paradigm. So these pictures or images are from Pope Gabriel's Ordo of the Rites of the Church, which is about 100 years after that image from Ibn Qabr. And he labels these hymns or one of these hymns as an aspasmos. So whereas the aspasmos is usually in the Coptic tradition, the hymn of a greeting, and it doesn't have any relation to the Sanctus itself, we see that term being used here for these hymns prior to the Sanctus. We're giving them sort of a label. Interestingly enough, Pope Gabriel doesn't mention any of these hymns in his Eucharistic liturgy. He mentions this hymn as something to be chanted in the baptism. So on the left here, you said ثم يرتلو بالنقوص الأزباسموس وهو هذا. And he says يقال في الغطاس. So it's this text here that mentions the Jordan, it mentions St. John the Baptist, it mentions the coming of the Messiah who carries the sin of the world. And then it then concludes with a verse again from Vifte Istin Trapezan. So the focus here of this Sanctus was still on this movement towards God. And that scene of the vision of the Holy One and the Eucharistic understanding. About also 100 years later, so this manuscript is from St. Anthony's Monastery, and it's from 1660 AD. And here we have, again, this Defte Istin Trapezan. Of course, the Greek text is not as accurate, and it changes throughout multiple scripts, but it's labeled here in Arabic as el Asbasmus Atheni. So here it's labeled as the second Asbasmus, which leads to this understanding of the Asbasmusat. So that's plural for, it's an Arabic pluralization of the Greek word for Asbasmus. And these hymns that are chanted before the Sanctus then take on characteristics of the Asbasmus itself. The Asbasmus has a totally different set of rules or sort of guidelines that it follows. They talk about more of the sacrifice itself. They talk about peace from the heavens. They speak in regards to the offering of gifts. So when they reference the saints, they usually reference them with in the context of offering themselves or how we've learned of the offering of Christ through the saints. So there's sort of characteristics that, of the Asbasmus that don't necessarily apply to these hymns of the Sanctus up until this point. And here they're being termed in the same way. And so this leads in, with my understanding, it leads to some sort of implication on the change of what has happened towards the Sanctus later. So if we move a little bit further, we see in now the 19th century, this is an Ordo of the Church manuscript from Sibir Bey in Tanta. And for this, for the one occasion, they have multiple hymns here to be chanted before the Sanctus. So it's during Great Lent. They are speaking of the Virgin Mary, and then they're adding a later verse, the Alleluia verse, the conclusion verse for Christ who fasted for us. And then they have, you have the option of saying again, Vifte Istin Trapezan. So the shift now has moved from this participation in this heavenly manifestation or theophany into a glorification of saints, into a seasonal focus where we're talking about the season that we're in, about Lent, about fasting. And we've left sort of the understanding of moving towards the table of the Eucharistic table to participate with the angels and saints in this piece of the liturgy. What later solidifies this change is the service of the deacon book and the eucologian that was printed by Father Abdul Masih al-Mas'udi towards the end of the 19th century and early 20th century. So here, if we look on the transcription on the side, he says, وَإِذْ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَزْبَسْمُسْ ثَنِنْ. So if there is no second أَزْبَسْمُسْ, أي أَزْبَسْمُسْ وَاتُسْ. So if there's no أَزْبَسْمُسْ وَاتُسْ, they say نِشَرُبِيمْ. But when they say نِشَرُبِيمْ, they're not saying it as a hymn prior to the Sanctus. It has actually shifted and become its own response, as we can see here in this recording.
وَإِذْ لَمْ يَقَالْ هَذَا الْأَزْبَسْمُسْ الْوَاتُسْ يَرُدِّ الشعب بهذا المرض.
And then the transcription that's written after, right before the Sanctus, it says, هَذِهِ تُقَالْهَ هُنَا فِي نَهَيْتِ الْأَزْبَسْمُسِ الثَّانِي, which translates to, and this is said here at the conclusion of the second aspasmus. So the Sanctus is now seen as the conclusion of another hymn rather than, it's flipped. The Sanctus is now not its own standalone, but it's the conclusion of another hymn that may or may not be chanted. Interestingly enough, even the tune itself of this Ni Cherubim, it's a truncated form of what originally was that longer melismatic tune said during St. Gregory's liturgy. So when we chant it in church, it's actually much quicker, and it doesn't have all these ornamentations that the cantor Ma'alim Fahim was chanting with here. So we've seen this progression from hymns that are recreating this scene and allowing us to participate and move towards God in this theophany to a hymn that is now focused on seasons, that is focused on saints, on venerations, and then becomes a petitionary prayer. So the standard Sanctus hymn, or now what they started calling the Aspasmus Vatus, because the other Aspasmus, the other actual greeting hymn, is labeled Adam. So now they shifted this one and the title became an Aspasmus Vatus. Let me see if I can. And here you see that Wa'aydan Aspasmus Vatus Sanawi. So here you now have, this is the standard or the annual Aspasmus Vatus. And the hymn itself has nothing to do with the glorification of the Trinity or the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Here it's a prayer that's from the Psalms, actually. And the text is, O Lord God of hosts, return and look down from heaven and see, visit this vineyard which your right hand has planted, restore her and establish her. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Bless the air of the heavens, or the waters of the rivers, or the seeds and the herbs. May your mercy and your peace be a fortress to your people. And so what's happened here is now it's taken on this totally seasonal form, where we're speaking depending on the agricultural calendar of the church on what response now we're adding into this piece. And it's more of a petition for God to return. And usually when we chant this now in the church, the context is sort of restore the church, restore us, visit us, and sort of fix what we have now in the church. And this has become now the staple text for the hymn. Sorry, was I unmuted in the past few minutes? Was I muted? I apologize.
Just for like a minute or two.
Okay. So in conclusion, I just want to reiterate sort of the process that this went through. We see these hymns that are allowing us to move towards this heavenly banquet. We see specific ones that are connected to certain anaphoras. We see tunes that are more closely linked to these specific anaphoras. And then we begin having shifts so that these hymns now begin to focus on other topics. They focus first on seasons and then on saints. And now we have a specific hymn prior to the Sanctus for each saint and for each occasion, rather than upon the biblical scene which they're meant to allow us to participate in. The music itself has shifted dramatically. They have truncated some of them. We have reserved them only for certain other occasions, and we've lost actually some tunes because of standardization movements. So I'm hoping to allow, in my current practice now, what I've done is I've taken the text of these other things and, you know, transcribe them or attune them properly so that we can restore sort of this understanding. And this is all that I have for this presentation. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Because of the time, if you have any questions, just put them in the chat box. Then after the session is finished, we will address them. Okay, so Next speaker, Michael. Let's hold on for a second.